it's more than just Israeli military intelligence. This is U.S. intelligence, and Israeli military intelligence did this. So, you know, all this footage, all these guys surrounding them, making all these hand signs. There's no fewer than four or five guys standing around, the military types, and they're sitting there going, making all kinds of signals with their hats, all this. And then you look at the manual on military signs like that, and it's talking about snipers and stuff. I don't know if those guys are doing that all the time. And then we find out that those guys are Israeli. I think that's what the story that I got. Okay, until I hear otherwise, the guy standing right behind him, making the movement with his arm just before he was shot. Supposedly, Charlie Kirk was guarded by Israeli security. Right. And at any time, Benjamin Netanyahu can just simply say, get rid of Charlie Kirk. And if they're called Israelis and the other word is security, Benjamin Netanyahu says to terminate your employer, this employer being Charlie Kirk. Wasn't an employer. They were his handlers. Okay. When it was time to terminate him, they terminate him without prejudice. Or with extreme prejudice, I'm sorry. I got it wrong. But you notice how all these patsies that they come up with all look the same. They look the same. This kid, this kid who did this one, it looks kind of like this other kid. Looks like the one that tried to fire at Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, and got his head blown off by the sniper, by the U.S. Secret Service sniper or U.S. military sniper that was positioned on the roof to protect Trump. Right? Didn't do that good of a job because supposedly somebody got off around. It wasn't this kid, whatever his name was, that freakish kid. And then, like, Dylan Roof, the kid who went into the church and shot up all the African-American pastors and stuff that were in there. And the kid who did the Aurora, Colorado shooting. I don't remember their names. It's not important. I remember where they did the shootings. And when he appears in court, his eyes are... They've drugged him up. He's on drugs. Just like this kid who just appears in a daze at the, there you go. Just in a daze. Just in a daze. And they're all the same. So they must have sleepers throughout the United States, Israeli intelligence, U.S. intelligence. They put the whammy on this kid, do a little programming. It's like the assassin of RFK Jr.'s father, Robert Kennedy, when he was running for the 1968. It was the election of 1968, and he was the front runner. He was winning. He was in the lead. And they took him out, and they put this. They blamed it on this patsy, Sirhan Sirhan, who was a young. I think it was Palestinian or Egyptian. I think it was Palestinian kid. This is back in 1968, so you could already see the Israelis trying to set up the people of Palestine to be the evil ones, so that the Israeli can have their greater Israel realized. Right, so they got their foot in the door with the territories they were granted by the Balfour Declaration, and then their plan was to stretch it out with the Oded. Yinon, Y-I-N-O-N, the O-D-E-D, Yinon, Y-I-N-O-N plan. It was an article by a journalist named Oded Yinon, who described clearly the path that Israel has to follow, and that is the takeover of their neighbors, so that Israel grows to absorb large sections of, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, that'll be fun as they try to, you know, can't wait till they take over half of Saudi Arabia. What bin Salman, Mohammed bin Salman will say about that. Many people say he's in on it because he's Jewish. That's what they claim, that he's a secret Jew. Right? So they'll probably give it over. But they all look the same, and they all, I think they drug them up too. And I think it's very easy to get a kid like this to do an assassination, with the drug cocktails that they have now and the mind control technique and the psychological and hypnotic, and, you know, the whole, there's probably a formula they have by now, which can make you, put you in a trance, make you do something such as go to a rooftop with a gun, pretend you're going to shoot someone. And then when you leave the scene, you might actually think you did it. Yeah. This kid, they could easily program you. They can implant a memory through programming. They can do that. They can make it so that when you wake up from the programming that they've put in through keywords into your mind, they can make it so that you can really think, my God, what did I shot him. I did it. They can do that. Easy. They've had something like 70, 80 years, more than that, 80, 90 years to figure this out. They can get you to be what they call a Manchurian candidate. They can do it. Okay? CIA, they know how to program an assassin and make it so that the assassin will believe that they did it. I mean, that's what they did. They and you can even see what the shooter of Lennon, John Lennon from the Beatles in December, I think it was December like 31st maybe, or December of 1980, that by Mark David Chapman, and we see the programming leaking out. He's writing down in his book, he's writing the phrase over and over again, "The catcher in the rye, John Lennon must die." Right. This is the MKUltra programming leaking out or manifesting itself somehow. Yeah. Yes. Yes. People don't just then start writing things over and over again. That's the hypnotic programming that they did back in 1980 when they programmed them at the World Vision Christian camp, because remember, the killer of John Lennon and the would-be assassin of Reagan 3 months later, in March 31st of 81. I can't believe I remember these dates. Because I wrote about it at the time. There you go. That's how long I've been doing this. I was writing about it when it happened. So that would have been in 80 and 81. But both the killers attended the World Vision Christian Camp in Africa, this remote camp, and that's when the brainwashing took place. At the World Vision, which was a CIA cutout, World Vision was accused of transporting young boys for sexual intercourse, right? And also running guns, and they were involved with the Knights of Malta, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, of St. John, Jerusalem, and Malta. That's what it's theoretically called, the Knights of Malta, they call them. They have sovereign status, so when they fly a plane into your country, theoretically, they don't have to go through customs. So they can bring whatever they want, and a lot of times they're bringing young boys and or weaponry. In and out of Latin America is one of their strongholds. But they can program you is what I'm getting at. The way they programmed the kid John Hinckley Jr., who took a shot at Ronald Reagan, like I said, 3 months later after the John Lennon, which was a trial run for the Reagan, which was the big hit. They wanted to get rid of both of them. They didn't want Lennon making Give Peace a Chance songs, and they wanted to just get rid of Reagan, because that would have put Bush Senior, as from who was the VP, they would have made him president. And Bush Senior was the CIA director prior to becoming the vice president under Reagan. I know this is a lot, and I shouldn't go that far back to try to tell you this story here. Let's bring it back to this story. We can divert, but this is about how easy it is to them to get programmed assassins. These people don't know what they're doing, and this kid probably had no clue if he did it or not. Right? He probably thinks he did it, but you know, I don't think so. And I think right now, you know, certainly the people who pulled this off, this hit is so sophisticated, but they know how to do this kind of thing. But you know, they're not going to tell a goof like Cash Patel about what they did. You know, maybe as that goof, Cash Patel, maybe as real journalists like myself and Candace Owens and stuff start saying, hello, you might want to look here, then maybe Cash Patel will get a clue. But other than that, he doesn't have a clue, right? That's why Trump keeps putting these douchebags that at the head of the FBI, because, you know, Christopher Wray was another one. I don't know who's worse. Cash Patel's pretty bad, you know. But the people who pulled off this hit would not inform Cash Patel in advance. So, no, Cash Patel wasn't in on it, but now he is. Yeah, because he now has to orchestrate the cover-up. And so all this information that is being produced is just that. It's being produced right now. The evidence. So all this evidence that they're showing, the note, all this sketchy, there was an analogy, the note is so weird. Nobody writes like that. Oh, my love. You know, it sounds like some melodramatic story out of the 1920s, and there's been an analysis. Somebody made an analysis that's saying that it looks like it's written by AI, the so-called note between the two lovers, the shooter and his transgendered lover. Okay. Supposedly that the intelligence agency that did this job, which everybody's pointing the finger at Israeli intelligence, and that's who it would be, that they didn't speak that good English. So they asked AI, write me a love note between somebody who just shot Charlie Kirk and his lover. Just write me a note back. Forth. So the thing, and between these two lovers that are in their 20s, right? So to emulate the type of language that would be somebody in their 20s. But the analysis is when they, instead of their 20s, he said in the 20s. I like this analysis. This is not my analysis. Somebody else made it, but I think it's a great analysis. It definitely holds water. Give me a love letter between somebody who just shot someone and his gay lover in the 20s. And so AI is thinking they're talking about the 1920s. So that's where you're getting all this language that's sort of archaic and sort of nostalgic sounding. My love. You know, it sounds like it would be said by, some actor in Hollywood 1920s. So that makes sense. Okay, now the photos that were being shown of Kirk, this photo here reminds me of the kind of photos we were getting out of the Michael Kadar case. Michael Kadar, K-A-D-A-R. Michael Kadar. What is the Michael Kadar case? One of the biggest black holes in U.S. in Israeli criminality we've ever seen. So when Trump just got elected in 2016 for his first time at destroying this country on behalf of his Jewish masters, in the lead up to his election, to the months up to like February, March of the following year when he was inaugurated. So it was 2017 when he was inaugurated, January 2020. for like a 6-7 month period, there was more bomb threats that were phoned in to Jewish community centers. I think that's what they call them, Jewish community centers and synagogues and stuff. More bomb threats being called into Jewish community centers than in the history of the United States, meaning that there was more bomb threats in general, something like over 1,000 bomb threats. So Jewish community centers all throughout the United States were getting bomb threats, and FBI was baffled. They couldn't figure out who's doing this, right? Said the FBI. They were blaming, the media was blaming it on the rising, the resurgence, they said, of Nazi anti-Semitism because of Trump. This would have been the liberal Jew media, so this would have been the Soros finance media, because remember, the liberal Jew doesn't like Trump. So who are the liberal Jews? Well, the liberal Jews are the TV networks, Hollywood, George Soros, the pedophiles, right? The pharmaceutical lobby. That's the liberal Jew, right? So they hated Trump. They wanted Hillary Clinton. They figured that Hillary could get their agenda through. But you see, both the liberal Jewish agenda and the conservative Jewish agenda are just the right and left arm of the Rothschilds. And that's how they keep our society at this perpetual war balance. I've spoken about it in my last show. Strategy of tension is more like it. They didn't call it a strategy of tension. We called it a strategy of tension. The United States just called it. They gave it names. Well, just had operational names, Gladio and other names for the actual sabotage that the U.S. government and the European governments were involved in and still are involved in. Most of the terror we do ourselves to ourselves, most of that. Very little terror coming from authentic, real terrorists. Very little. But this reminds me of the Michael Kadar case. All these bomb threats eventually got traced back to Israel. It wasn't United States. It wasn't a neo-Nazi. It wasn't a Republican conservative. It wasn't the resurgence of anti-Semitism. It was good old self-inflicted anti-Semitism, which is the variety we've been seeing a lot of lately, where the Jews do it to themselves, and then they point to it and say, see that swastika on the synagogue? Give us more money for security. And then the governor gives them $100 million. We've seen situations where a swastika will get sprayed on a synagogue, and they'll catch the preacher spraying. I'm not the preacher, the rabbi, doing this spraying. They'll find out that it was sprayed by Jews. Okay, but then it'll happen again next week. They won't catch the Jew that's doing it, and then instead they'll give $100 million for security. And then you see this all over Brooklyn, New York, when you drive around. The synagogues in Brooklyn have been receiving hundreds of millions of dollars. So these things look like military bases. You couldn't even, you know, the Jews are getting ready for a world where we want to, you know, tear them limb from limb. And they have in the heart of New York City about 30 or 40 military bases disguised as synagogues built with U.S. taxpayer money. And when the Israelis build a military base disguised as a synagogue right in New York City, when they build a military base, they don't just build it out of steel and then they have to paint it so that it doesn't rust like the U.S. military does in many of its bases throughout the world. No. They use the very highest grade stainless steel. So it's all this nice silvery stainless steel, and they never have to maintain it, and it stays strong and rust-free. Well, only the best. Only the best for the Jew, right? U.S. military, they can use steel, but they're going to have to paint it so that it doesn't rust. But steel is cheaper. So the U.S. military boys, they get the cheap stuff, and the Jews, they get the good stuff. That's how this country works. How do you feel about that? These people are get everything. They're just completely ripping us off. They're shitting all over us. They bombed us. They bombed the U.S. That's liberty, no question about it. Now they're doing a genocide. Oh, but they're just like us. They're God's chosen people. You know? And when you look at all these hand signs, and you know, we got these Israeli military intelligence bodyguards behind Kirk. Again, if I'm wrong about this, please say no. Actually, he's Irish. He's not Israeli, and he always sits there and does. They always have this, like, almost. It's as if Kirk was placed in this kill zone, and all around the kill zone is a bunch of military guys ushering in the kill shot, coordinating it, making sure it's ready, all systems go. Then the guy asks the questions about gang violence, and then boom, all the symbology is there. The FBI caught him in 33 minutes. They have quick to emphasize 33. They want to throw out all that occultic symbology. This was like shooting fish in a barrel. They set him up, and he was in a kill zone, just like Kennedy. They put him in a kill zone. They even set it up like that. So, and then we see this security, supposedly the security footage of this kid. But look at the angle now. Maybe for some reason the FBI gave us these images that are in the portrait view. So I don't know if they just cropped the edge or not. It's usually not how you're supposed to deal with evidence. Could you please stop, like, fucking altering it, FBI? Could you stop altering everything? Like, why isn't there timestamps on the love note, supposedly, between Tyler Robinson and that guy Twig, or whatever his name was, his transgender lover? Why is there no timestamp? Why doesn't it look like anything normal that we normally see? Why is it everything so altered and so bastardized? Why is that? And then why, when Candace Owens does a show, I think by 2 nights ago by now, or at least 24 hours ago, where she has, you know, because everybody's talking about the guy who's seen removing the camera from the rear of where Charlie Kirk was sitting. Everyone is talking about it. Everyone wants to know about that. Everyone wants to know. Except the FBI. And then Kash Patel puts out a statement. Oh, we're bringing the full weight of the investigative ability of our nation. This is it. The entire agency is putting its full muscle behind it. Except we're not even interested in the slightest on getting the camera view that was right positioned right behind him, pointing to his back, which would have shown and answered a lot of the questions we have, and that Candace Owens brought up when she, in her firsthand testimony from her firsthand witnessing of the film, supposedly, according to the story, that she said she gave a firsthand account where she's saying, "I saw no blood." Now, she carefully, I don't know if that's carefully or by mistake, but she kept on saying, I saw no blood, no blood, no blood. But she didn't talk about, did you see a hole? Any big hole, a small hole, or any marks or anything? Okay, we know. She said that we didn't see any blood. Was there a hole, though? Because if there was no blood and there was no hole and there's no FBI showing any interest in that footage, that's how you know that the FBI is protecting the Israeli Mossad in their assassination of Charlie Kirk. And Benjamin Netanyahu puts out a statement. Charlie was a great friend of Israel and a great friend of mine. We love him, you know, in that Benjamin, that horrible Netanyahu glottal that he does. And then he goes, we may have had some disagreements, minor disagreements, he says, because he knows that everybody's talking about that time when Charlie Kirk went up there and said on Patrick Ben David's show, I think that's his name, for Valuetainment, that one there, when Charlie Kirk got up there on that show and said, I think that the attack, the Hamas January 6th attack, supposedly, on Iran was a false flag, that there was a stand down, at least. Maybe he didn't say false flag, he said stand down. Did Netanyahu stand down? Charlie Kirk and I might have had some minor agreements. That's not a minor agreement. If Charlie Kirk is saying you stood down, that's not a minor agreement, dude. That's a major accusation. It's not a minor disagreement. Oh, but I welcome it, says Benjamin Netanyahu. No, he doesn't. There is nothing in Benjamin Netanyahu's 30 years of political leadership where he's welcomed criticism. There's like absolutely no example of that. But now we're supposed to believe when he says that he welcomed somebody accusing him of giving a stand down order so that the Israeli people could get killed and taken hostage. Somebody's lying. So Benjamin Netanyahu is lying to you. Now, why is he lying? Why did Benjamin Netanyahu come up and risk saying that the disagreement between Charlie Kirk and him was minor? That's suspicious. That means he's guilty. That means he's guilty, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have to lie about something that's so easy to verify that is a lie. It's very easy to verify that's a lie. All you have to do is watch the show where Charlie Kirk says, I think that it was a stand down. So that's a big disagreement there. That's a big accusation. Charlie Kirk accused Benjamin Netanyahu of complicity in the Hamas attack. Because stand down order, that's called complicity. That's what that is. That's not a minor disagreement, Netanyahu. In my Netanyahu voice, that's a major fucking disagreement there. Yeah. Yeah. Major. Major. Oh, yeah. And there's that other major disagreement. He said it looks like Epstein was an Israeli Mossad operation. He must have been watching the Harry Vox show. But he said it was an Israeli Mossad operation. That's not a small disagreement either. That's a big fucking fundamental. That is a fundamental, massive accusation of two of the biggest crimes that you could commit on the planet Earth. Charlie Kirk committed Benjamin Netanyahu of participation in the Child Sex Network, International Child Sex Blackmail Network, and that he ordered his own military to stand down so his own people could get attacked. I welcome the minor disagreement that I had with Charlie Kirk. Uh-huh, I'm sure you do. No. I don't think people believe that. And so Kash Patel and Bondi over there and Trump, they're all there to cover up the crimes of Israel. So, yeah, I think we would have been better off with Kamala Harris. I thought I'd never say something like that, but thanks, Trump. Thanks for making me wish. Thanks for making me pine for the possibilities of Kamala, the worst scumbag in the history of human scumbags, Harris. Thanks for making me yearn to have rather have had Kamala Harris than your Israeli penis sucking that you're about. You know. Now, when we look at these images here, they're portrait mode, and that's just not how surveillance cameras work. Surveillance are landscape mode, and we just get these views. And so this would be more consistent with somebody holding up a camera, unless they're cropping it, unless the original photos were wider and they just cropped it, which is possible. I wish they would stop tampering with evidence and just start showing us, like, stuff with timestamps and with the proper headings and everything. Like, evidence should be presented instead of stripping out the timestamps and cropping everything so we don't know what was in the image. And we don't believe the FBI's story. We just don't believe it. The note is so incredulous, tying up all the loose ends in their story. It's an Israeli hit. Yep, they're making hand signals to each other. And these guys has his phone on the crowd. He's not even looking at Kirk. If you look at him, he's not even pointing his phone at Kirk. Why would he be pointing his phone at the crowd? So all these men have a task to do. Yeah, and we're not hearing from them. And here's my prediction. I don't know if I predicted it or not, but I think I did. I think that they're gonna want to hide that under the footage from the rear of Charlie Kirk. They're gonna try to hide that from us, and they're gonna come up with a lame excuse. How many more days is the FBI gonna go before they show some interest in that? And how many more days are we gonna have to wait till we hear the bullshit story? Oh, that file got corrupted. Oh, the camera footage we can't find anymore. Then we'll have to just rely on Candace Owens' memory. How many more days is the FBI going to wait before they show any interest in that footage? How many more days are the American people going to have to wait? What bullshit excuses are we going to get from Turning Point USA? Right now, Turning Point USA is under a complete Jewish takeover. Right? So right now, Jewish private equity firms, companies, are buying it. Yeah. Money is no object. And there's no way that Charlie Kirk's wife would be able to withstand the Jew money. So what they'll tell her is they're going to say, look, I don't even know what her name is. Let's just say, I forgot what her name was, but let's say Jane for the purposes. Forgive me for the purposes. So Jane Kirk. Look, Jane, you know, this is a national security issue, and we really need you to be on Team Israel. This is in a very important time. As you know, the hostages are in jeopardy, and, you know, we have $300 million here. We're going to just give you that. So we just want to make sure, you know, and then, you know, as soon as she hears that the $300 million, it's going to be like, oh, my God. Because that organization without Charlie Kirk cannot survive. The money will not come in. So when they casually say, oh, well, here's $300 million. But what we want to make sure that we, you know, we promote the Israeli line stuff. Oh, Charlie Kirk's wife is going to turn out to be the most pro-Israeli you've ever seen. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I want so much to be wrong. I'd love for her to come out and say, Israel killed my husband, and I want some fucking answers. I'll bet she's going to be so pro-Israel, it's going to be absolutely 100%. Let's just say 95%. She's going to turn out to steer that Turning Point organization is going to become the most Jewish, Judeo-centric. There's going to be so much Jewish money. It was like when the Jews gave the guy Fox, Rupert Murdoch, money to buy MySpace. because it was like, you know, the Jews always want to control the minds of the young. So they just buy whatever media outlet reaches out to the young, and they hope that by just purchasing it, they can then control the minds of the young. And it works many times. It was the case with Turning Point for 10 years. Nobody questioned Israel. So Israel figured we could do whatever we want. And people are questioning genocide, right? When Rupert Murdoch bought MySpace, MySpace went from being a relatively cool thing to being so uncool after Rupert Murdoch's Fox bought it. I mean, you saw ads. It was like hip kind of rock and roll. A lot of bands put their music on. My band had a MySpace page. And then as soon as they bought it, they put that that woman who was the Fox conservative, the blonde, the skinny blonde with the big breasts. What's her name? Back in the 90s, she was. I forgot her name. But they put her up there, promoting her throughout that network. It's like, this was a rock and roll. It was about, like, bands. MySpace was about music and bands. We didn't want to see this. I forgot her name. Begins with the C. There's a C in it somewhere, but whatever. That blonde that was with Fox back in the day. Whatever. And then everybody bailed from MySpace. So that's what's going to happen with Turning Point USA. The Jews are going to buy it. Charlie Kirk's wife is going to go probably full Jew. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm not being mean. You know, I hope not. But it's set up because they don't have the willpower. They don't have the money or the willpower to resist the Jewish control. They let that son of a bitch weasel Ben Shapiro in there like a day or two after Kirk was shot to do a show in his office. And you could already see the Jew try to bribe him with the money, try to put money up. They're going to take the money. Kirk supposedly refused Jew money towards the end. Well, he'd been taking Jew money for 10 years. Fully for 10 years. I think the Jew money started pouring in 2016. Started pouring into Turning Point USA. But now with Charlie Kirk dead, they will still pour money in, but now the objective is different. Now that the money that the Jews are going to be, this next infusion is to buy loyalty first so that nobody talks about Israeli involvement in the killing of Charlie Kirk. So the first infusion of several hundred million, which will come in the next couple of days, to Charlie Kirk's wife and the main people there. They're each going to get, I don't know if the total is probably going to be about 400 million. They're going to give each of them about $100 million to put in their own personal account, okay, or gold bullion that they could put in a vault. They better check it to make sure it's not tungsten, because they'll probably give them fake notes, counterfeit money, and fake gold. But whatever it is, Charlie Kirk's wife is going to be offered tens and tens and tens of million in cash to go full Jew, and she's going to go full Jew. I hope I'm wrong. If I am wrong, I will apologize. I really hope I'm wrong. I see it going the way I'm describing it. Just saying. They're going to give her a lot of money. It's going to be undisclosed. And she's going to be out there pushing for Israel hard. Hard. Watch. Watch. I'm usually never wrong about this kind of stuff. So, but I do want to be wrong. You will see an organization that at the top will be so full Jew, will be so full Jew, full Israel. Israel is everything, right? At the top, and you're gonna see everyone else go, I don't like this. And you're going to see a lot of people defecting. And then you're going to see a small coterie, a small group that's going to stay loyal, no matter how disgusting it gets. Those are going to be the real fanatics that are going to stay. The ones that still stay and ignore the Israeli problem, that means Turning Point USA, the ones that are going to remain, if whoever let me refine my prediction about Turning Point USA, and let me tell you, I know very little about Kirk. I know almost nothing about his wife except what I saw, where she was doing this teary-eyed speech in his office, where she would go into this almost breakdown in tears, but no actual tears came out. And then within a second, she's talking normal again, and then go into this collapse and breakdown, and then talking normal. I know when I collapse in emotional, distraught emotional, when I'm speaking, and it's just too painful. I don't recover that quick. It takes a while to recover from a truly emotional moment like that. She had like 20 or 30 of these moments where she was like in utter pain, and then just went right back to talking again. So I don't know. Maybe some people could do that. My prediction is you are going to see the most Judeo-centric. You're going to see so much millions coming in there to TPUSA, but it's going to go directly to buy the people that are in charge. The Jews don't care about the people down rank, down on the ladder. They only care about the people who run it. And right now it's his wife. So she'll get the bulk of the money. And she's going to be full Jew. I hope not. I hope she stands up and fights, because they want to kill off Christianity. I'll tell you that. Christianity is the main target of the Jew at this level that Charlie Kirk was at. And let's all inquire as best as we can to the FBI. Where's the footage behind Kirk? And why haven't you shown any interest in it? Everybody else has a lot of interest in it. Why you have no interest in it? And then finally, no copies of that was made. When making a copy of a file that's on a thumb drive or on a SD card is as simple as clicking on it. That's how easy it is to make a copy of it. No copies will be made. And that footage is likely to disappear, because it can answer the question whether he was shot from behind or from the side or from the rear or from the front. That footage is probably going to disappear. I hope not. I hope I'm wrong. And they say, hey, Harry, did you hear the news? They released the footage. I'll be very happy to see what Candace Owen has reported that she saw, and that, according to her report, the FBI hadn't as of yet shown any interest in that angle. When the entire, not the entire internet, but the entire internet who knew Charlie Kirk and is remotely interested in his demise, one of those people would not be me, because I did not know of Charlie Kirk. As a matter of fact, I mean, I'd heard the name, but I think that I just completely wrote him off. Because when you saw Charlie Kirk, he was just spouting off about Mother Israel, how it's Israel. He was just Israeli first, and these type of people are just so repulsive that I don't revisit him. So to tell you the truth, when he died, when they said Charlie Kirk was shot, I had to go online to see what he looked like. That's how I don't watch people who are Israeli first. I just get them out of my mind, because I know who and what they are. You know, if you're some young white Christian guy and you're spouting off about Israel and how it's all about Israel, you're doing so because they gave you the money, not because you love Jews. Don't bullshit me. You do it because you got the power and the money.